Hi, I'm Kylie Roberts.
And I'm Mel Womwell, and we are Shift Unlimited.
We are both qualified executive coaches, coach supervisors, and trainers of NLP and coaching. The world is a volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous place. Every day we wake up to a new surprise. Uncertainty is chronic, instability is permanent, and disruption is common. This is the new normal. The game has changed. It's time to rip up the old rulebook. It's time to define success differently.
A shift is happening. The shift is unlimited.
We need leaders to live more purposeful lives and to lead more impactful businesses. In this podcast series, we will be doing a deeper dive into many facets of living and leading in this modern world, from founder to scale up, right through to leaders of global established organizations.
We will explore how we can be more holistic and authentic as we connect more deeply with ourselves, our relationships with others, and the wider world. In this podcast series, we'll engage in conversation together on topics that support the modern leader.
We have one wild, precious life to make change for good. And whilst change is daunting, so is staying the same.
Let's begin.
Good day and welcome to today's podcast on transformational leadership and what we call the leadership development profile. Every organization, no matter how large or small, from a startup to a global organization, needs transformational leaders, especially in the VUCA world we live in today. Transformational leaders are those who spearhead change, elevate profitability, expand market share, and change the rules of the game in their industry. Until recently, too few leaders have understood the unique strengths needed to be such a leader. And as a result, they've missed the opportunity to develop the strengths that they and their organizations have needed. So they've missed out. Great leaders are often differentiated not by their personality or their philosophy, but by their action logic, by which we mean how they interpret their own and other people's behavior and the world around them, and how they maintain power or protect against threats. An action logic, therefore, is the logic which drives the leader's thinking, meaning-making, and decisions. It's how they interpret their surroundings and react when their power or safety is challenged.
Research has found that leaders who undertake a voyage of personal understanding and development can transform not only their capability, but also those of their organizations.
Two psychologists, Suzanne Cook Greuter and William Torbert, undertook a 25-year-long survey based on research at organizations including Deutsche Bank, Hewlett-Packard, and Volvo. Amongst the many findings, they discovered that leaders who make an effort to understand their own action logic can improve their ability to lead. The research involves leaders completing a sentence completion survey, a tool called the Leadership Development Profile, and using this tool, participants complete 36 sentences. Then trained evaluators evaluate their answer to understand how the participants are interpreting their own thinking, their actions, and the world around them. These pictures showed which of the seven developmental action logics, opportunist, diplomat, expert, achiever, individualist, strategist, or alchemist, dominated the leader's way of thinking and acting. Leaders can move through these categories as their abilities grow.
The concept of action logic has its roots in ancient Greek, Hebrew, Hindu, and Buddhist cultures. To understand how leaders fall into such distinct categories and organizational performance, let's look in more detail at each of the action logics and leadership styles, starting with the earliest developmental stages.
So this developmental stage is called the opportunist. Researchers found that very few leaders in their sample were characterized by the action logic of opportunist. Typical characteristics of an opportunist leader include mistrusting and being mistrusted, egocentricism, manipulativeness. This action logic is called the opportunist because it reflects their tendency to focus on personal wins and see the world and other people around them as opportunities to be exploited. Their approach to the outside world is largely determined by their perception of control. In other words, how they will react to an event depends primarily on whether or not they can direct the outcome and be in control.
Opportunists tend to regard their bad behavior as legitimate in the cut thrust of an eye for an eye world. They tend to reject feedback, externalize blame, and can retaliate quite harshly. One can see this action logic in the early work of Larry Ellison, now chairman, CTO, and co-founder of Oracle. Ellison describes his managerial style at the start of his career as management by ridicule. He says, "You've got to be good at intellectual intimidation and rhetorical bullying." That's what he once told Matthew Simmons of The Economist. He added, "I'd excuse my behavior by telling myself I was just having an open and honest debate. The fact is, I just didn't know any better."
Few opportunists remain managers for long, unless they transform to a more effective action logic, as Ellison has done. Opportunist is the earliest of the action logics that develop. We all experience this stage of development, and often so in early childhood years. We are taught to believe that the world around us is binary. The oven is hot, not cold. Fighting with siblings is wrong, not right. The cup is black, not white. In opportunists, we discover that the world is rule-based, and we learn to see the world and make meaning of it and our own actions based on this very binary thinking.
Their constant firefighting, the style of self-aggrandizement and frequent rule-breaking is the antithesis of the kind of leader people want to work for in the longer term. If you have worked for an opportunist leader, you will most certainly remember it as a difficult time.
So then we move on to the diplomat. The diplomat makes sense of the world around him or her in a more benign way than the opportunist does. It's focused on a desire to belong and fit in. But this action logic can also have negative repercussions if the leader is a senior manager. Loyalty serving the group, the diplomat seeks to please the higher status colleagues whilst avoiding conflict at all costs. This action logic is focused on gaining control of one's own behavior more than on gaining control of external events or other people. So in a support role or a team context, this type of manager has much to offer. Diplomats provide social glue to their colleagues and ensure that the attention is paid to the needs of others, which is probably why a great many of the diplomats work at more junior levels of management. Research showed that 80% of all diplomats were at junior levels. By contrast, 80% of strategists, who we'll be talking about a little later, are found at senior levels. This suggests that managers who grow into more effective action logics, like the strategists, have a greater chance of being promoted.
Diplomats are much more problematic in top leadership roles because they try to ignore conflict. They can tend to be overly polite and friendly and find it virtually impossible to give challenging feedback to others. Initiating change with its inevitable conflicts represents a grave threat to the diplomat, and he or she will avoid it if at all possible.
So most of us, again, go through this stage of development, beginning in our teenage years. We have a strong urge to fit in. We adjust who we are based on what our peers do. When I think back to my teenage years, I went through a grunge phase, a rock phase, a beach girl phase. It was all about belonging, alongside experimenting to work out who I actually was authentically.
The next action logic that we develop into is called expert. Just 9.5% of leaders in the latest research sample from 2022 profiled as expert. In contrast to opportunists who focus on trying to control the world around them and diplomats who concentrate on controlling their own behavior, experts try to exercise control by perfecting their knowledge, both in their profession and also in their personal lives.
So exercising watertight thinking is extremely important to experts. Not surprisingly, in the past, many accountants, investment analysts, software engineers, marketeers, and consultants have operated from the expert action logic. Securing their expertise, they present hard data and logic in their effort to gain consensus. Experts are great individual contributors because of their pursuit of continuous improvement, efficiency, and perfection. But as managers, they again can be problematic because they are so completely sure they're right. When team members talk about my way or the highway type of boss, they're probably talking about someone operating from the expert action logic. Experts tend to view collaboration as a waste of time and will frequently treat the opinion of others less expert than themselves with contempt. Emotional intelligence is neither desired or appreciated. As Scott McNeely, who was CEO of Sun just before it reported a $217 million loss, said, "I don't do feelings. I'll leave that to Barry Manilow."
But when I think back to my development and what got me to where I am today, I can see that when I was at school and I achieved well, that led me to university, where I specialized in subjects that I was doing well at. Moving into my career, I was given positive feedback and promotions that further built the muscles of my expertise. The traditional work environment really created and perpetuated the expert action logic. And we ended up with leaders who were specialists in their field, who were expected to know the answer to all problems, who were reluctant to seek balanced feedback for fear that they would be criticized as not good enough. Leaders afraid to fail because they were held in such high esteem for their expertise.
So then we move on to the achiever action logic. For those who hope to work for a manager who both challenges and supports them and creates a positive team and interdepartmental atmosphere, the good news is that a large proportion, potentially 57.5% of the managers researched, measure as achiever. Whilst these leaders can create a positive work environment and focus their efforts on deliverables, the downside is that their style often inhibits thinking outside of the box. The achiever action logic has a more complex and integrated understanding of the world than do the managers who display the previous three action logics. They're open to feedback and realize that many of the ambiguity and conflicts of everyday life are due to the differences in the interpretation and ways of relating to the world. They know that creativity, transforming or resolving clashes, requires sensitivity, relationships, and the ability to influence others in positive ways. Achievers can also reliably lead A teams to implement new strategies over a 1 to 3 year period. They balance immediate and long-term objectives. Some studies have also shown that people who scored as achievers had lower team turnover, delegating more responsibly, and have practices that earn at least twice the gross annual revenues of those run by experts.
What we would expect to see in those that profile in achiever action logic is a willingness to seek balanced feedback, a drive for progress and momentum, the ability to galvanize a team toward a collective goal, and setting clear objectives and strategies for the way forwards. We tend to progress from expert action logic to achiever action logic when we appreciate that we cannot do everything ourselves, that many hands make light work. When we start to appreciate that we have blind spots as a leader and ignoring them will only make things worse, we begin to open up to more balanced feedback and move into achiever action logic.
So then we have the first, what's called post-conventional action logic, and it's called the individualist. 27.5% of leaders in the latest research sample now profile as individualists. So as I said, this is the first post-conventional or non-traditional action logic, where the boundaries begin to break. Things become more complex as perspective on what is changes. Here we start to see the flaws and what's wrong with the world. It's characterized by more disruption of one's own development, focus and philosophy on life and leadership, nothing seems quite so black and white. Problems are multifaceted depending on where you are in relationship to it. There's an eagerness to do different things and to do things differently. The focus here is on being an agent of change. What sets the individualists apart from the achiever leader is their awareness of a possible conflict between the principles and their actions and between the organization's values and its implementation of those values. This conflict becomes the source of tension, creativity, and a growing desire for further development. Individualist leaders begin to question what they see, hear, do, and their own thoughts and beliefs. Even things that they may have previously championed are now in question. It can feel like a sticky place to profile. Everything is now viewed as if the rose-colored glasses are off. The leader will see the flaws on what is said, what is done. They will experience the paradoxes and not being able to solve them. They also start to let go of old ways of being and experiment with new ways of being, which can feel uncomfortable, particularly in their close relationships.
Individualist leaders have a tendency to ignore rules they regard as old-fashioned and out of date, which often makes them a source of irritation to both colleagues and their managers. And they can often be seen as a bit of a wild card. They are effective in change environments and in consulting roles.
Then we have the strategist. 5.3% of leaders profile now as strategist. Here, attention is given to systemic thinking over a much longer time scale. An action I take today has lasting impact on the world tomorrow. It's much easier to make meaning of VUCA at this action logic. Remember, VUCA being volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguousness. Holding our own view of the world and what we believe to be true, we do this much, much lighter. There is a focus on transformation in all areas of self, others, and the wider system and the world. Strategists challenge current norms and paradigms. They deal with conflict much more comfortably than the other action logics. And they're better at handling people's instinctive resistance to change. As a result, strategists are highly effective change agents.
Strategists use inquiry a lot more in their leadership than solving and fixing. So they get to the heart of issues rather than undertaking a quick fix that means that the problem is likely to emerge again and again. They believe that organizational and social change is an iterative developmental process that requires awareness and close leadership attention. They balance equally the three lenses and undertake personal inquiry and development, particularly on the I lens. Personal and team relationship development, the we lens, and organizational, industry-wide, country, world, systemic issues on the it lens.
I like to think of the strategist's action logic in two ways. First, it's that I'm holding a precious baby bird in the palm of my hand, and that if I hold it too tightly, that it will be devastating. And if I hold it too lightly, it will be so much better. I also think of it as a small stone creating ripples in a still large lake. The ripples are still being created long after the stone has sunk to the bottom of the lake. Every action has a long-term reaction. And there's also a lot of lightness and humor that can be found at strategist. It has a much lighter feel to it than individualists, an ability to laugh at oneself and to take things a little less seriously. Here in strategists, we let go. We choose not to hold on to negative emotions and let them pass through us.
The last and arguably the least understood action logic is that of alchemist. Here, there is a realization that we are all connected. There is something much bigger than us going on right now. Just 0.5% of leaders currently profile as alchemists. Alchemy is the turning of lead into gold. It's not the turning of gold into gold. Therefore, it's representative of taking something and making it super, super special. Alchemist action logic involves an appreciation for what is not seen. How when someone walks into a room, they can change the energy in a space. How when we breathe consciously, we can change the way our heart beats and how our body feels.
Strategist and alchemist may feel all of the emotions and be comfortable with the paradoxes of seemingly opposite emotions and priorities. They may feel fear and optimism in the same day, in the same moment. Maybe even joy and grief, happiness and sadness, belief and disbelief. The paradox of focusing on short-term liquidity in their organization and a long-term vision for the business. A desire to ask much more questions than provide answers is also a key characteristic of strategists and alchemists. Where we sit on this evolutionary process determines our experiences of the current environment. For instance, diplomat will be focused on belonging to their main group of influence, whether it's rebelling against government guidelines or following them. Experts will be characterized with a strong desire to get it right, possibly fear of not getting to a solution quickly enough. Achiever will be busy with short-term liquidity, being focused on right now, and the individualist will be feeling out of sorts, not sure where to focus their energy. They will want to use this climate as an opportunity for bigger change. Strategists will be thinking about the longer term and the wider system that they're part of, and alchemists, the unseen energy within it all. So how then do we evolve as a leader and as a coach so that we expand our thinking, we become more systemic, we're able to focus on the people around us and the wider world all at the same time? Leaders can evolve from one action logic to another, and there are a number of practices that support leadership transformation. These include things like seeking out regular feedback and being prepared to give feedback, challenging the truths we hold dear and starting to hold our beliefs and truths more lightly, becoming more inquiry and question led, a willingness to change our minds when challenged and when we hear another person's perspective, leaning into and dealing conflict and difficult situations more quickly. This includes using difficult life circumstances as an opportunity for deeper self-inquiry and growth, valuing difference and surrounding ourselves with a more diverse group of people who actively share their views about a variety of subjects, undertaking collaborative inquiry where we get together with other people, small groups, pose questions and do deep inquiry into those questions. Using the RIDE principles, if you remember, that stands for reflection, inquiry, disrupting our patterns of behavior, and being willing to experiment. And journaling is very powerful too.
Trauma and crisis are also catalysts for evolving through the stages of the action logics. If you allow yourself to think differently than you have done before, to do different things, and see the world through new lenses. There is a psychometric that we use a lot in our coaching at Shift Unlimited called the Leadership Development Profile that gives an indication as to where you might be profiling right now. This psychometric is the vehicle for a really deep and expansive conversation about life, how you experience life and relationships and the wider world, what happens when you're triggered and where your development edge might be.
And there's no wrong when it comes to action logics. This is your own personal journey. In our coaching, we're advocating a deeper inquiry on self, which is one way to develop into those post-conventional action logics. We also advocate a deeper inquiry into the we lens, your relationships, your role in the relationships that you have, and the it lens, the wider system that you're impacting with each of your actions. And our invitation now is for you to write down what you have heard, from what you've heard, which action logic you think might be your center of gravity currently, the place from where you are orientating right now. And also to reflect on which of these practices you would like to potentially undertake and experiment with.
Thank you for joining us on this episode today. We hope you found the exploration of leadership development and evolution informative and helpful. You can click to subscribe to our channel and follow us on Instagram @shift_unlimited. See you next time.